Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, I'm surprised you guys did a good job of coming. It was slippery out there this morning, wasn't it? Yeah, I was sliding all over trying to get out of our neighborhood. I don't think the Thornton-Brighton area really gets much snow removal. But anyhow, I'm glad you're here. Okay, so let's take our time of silent prayer this morning. And I, by the way, I wanted to say something about the ladies' tea. Ladies, this is a great place for you to get to know some of the other ladies. And always we have visitors come in to that tea, and they come out really knowing people, and because there's a lot of good sharing and that kind of thing. And I won't be there. I usually greet for a few minutes and then take off. And when she said bring food, ladies, that means bring sweets, right?
Yeah.
Because if you go to the pastor's wife's thing, then calories don't count. All right. All right. Let's go to our silent prayer and then pray for an open heart, and I'll be back to ask for prayer requests. Let's pray. Father, just open our hearts this morning as we look through the scriptures and as we talk about the subject at hand. And Lord, may you work in our hearts to be very consistent in our walk with you. If you have a prayer request, just raise your hand and let me pray for you. Father, pray for those that have their hand up. Hear our cry, O Lord. You say you do. We ask that you do whatever is important in your mind for us. That's the only thing we're going to tell you to do, is that we're going to listen to you and be able to accept your peace as we go through some of these challenging things. And Lord, may your son be glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning we're going to be talking a little bit about how living a consistent life. So welcome to Hypocrites Anonymous. I'm Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, now you guys can't confess that because it would be chaos. Okay. We're in Galatians chapter 2 from 11 to 14. And we're going to find out here in this passage that Peter and his people come to Antioch to visit Paul and Barnabas. And in the process, men from James come up from Jerusalem to visit as well. And the passage doesn't tell us why they come, although I'm sure it was to try to figure out what was going on with Paul and Barnabas. But when James' men arrive, everyone gets scared, okay? And quickly changes their eating habits to go, not the non-kosher food that the Gentiles are eating, but eating according to the Jewish law, and even pulling the Gentiles into doing that very thing. And so with a little dose of fear, we begin to live an inconsistent life as believers. Isn't that true? Just a little bit of fear. And so especially, you know, when we look at this with Peter, because Paul's going to confront Peter, in Acts chapter 10, God shows him that there is no, that all food is clean and he can eat anything. And so Peter has been so Jewish and kosher in his eating that when God says, kill and eat, he goes, not so, Lord. I have never touched anything unclean. And God had to tell him three times in Acts chapter 10 to do that until he finally gave up to do it. And then he began to eat with Paul and so on. So now with James' men arriving, Peter begins to backpedal and moves back to eating Jewish according to Jewish rules of diet. And Barnabas does the same thing. Barnabas is Paul's right-hand man. And he does the same thing. And which surprises me, because Paul and Barnabas are talking to the Gentiles, have nothing to do with food, eating specific foods and that kind of thing. And they were even told not to follow the Jewish law. But the truth of the gospel that he taught with Paul was not enough for him. And who knows why James is so important, other than that James is the oldest of the brothers and sisters that Mary has. She has Jesus, and then James is next, and Jude, the book of Jude, is written by another half-brother. And so just automatically, James has a lot of clout, right? I mean, after all, he's Jesus' brother. When he comes down, everybody gets scared, and everybody crosses their T's and dots their I's in a Jewish way because they fear these men from James. So whatever the reason, they began to live inconsistently to what we know now as right. So let's read our scripture together today. I'm going to read the underline, and you read the non-underline. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter then, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as a Jew? As Jews. Boy, that's a pretty good argument, isn't it? And so they played the hypocrite. Now, I looked up in the original language what hypocrite means. Very close in the Greek, the same word, is to give an impression of having certain purposes or motivations, while in reality having quite different ones. So we've met all those people, haven't we? Not us. Okay, yeah. In other words, believing one thing but doing another. And so I would add, almost always that I can think of, there is an element of fear. And we all can relate to being hypocrites from time to time, believing one thing and doing another. In fact, I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'm just going to say, are you a hypocrite? Okay, now, for those people that were sitting next to you that were shaking their head, no, I'm not a hypocrite. Will you grab their wrist and see if there's a heartbeat? Okay? We as Christians get labeled hypocrites, don't we? We are at times because of our own failure to follow what we say we believe. And even the rest of the world does the same thing. The people calling hypocrites are hypocrites, right? Can we pretty much accept the idea that everybody on the earth is a hypocrite? And we don't always follow what we believe. And it's a human condition that God desires to rescue us from. And when we search our hearts, I'm sure it has to make us wonder, do we really believe the truth we say we believe? When we say one thing, but somehow end up acting out another. You know, it's very interesting because Deb and I have been doing some discussions on emotions and kind of rethinking how we feel about that. And, you know, our emotional reactions are a tattletale to us, aren't they? We say one thing, but we act in another out of fear or whatever the emotion may be. And that's because we have underlying belief that may not exactly ante up to the Bible, but it is an emotion that comes as a result of what we believe. And so it's something I think we need to weigh out in our hearts as to why we're believing one thing and we're driven to do another. All right. In other words, they demonstrate that what we want to believe doesn't always match what we inwardly believe. So let me illustrate, okay? We might have a strong belief that the Bible says that lying is absolutely wrong. Do we all agree that? Okay, let me give you just one of the many scriptures. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man or the unsaved man with his deeds. Okay? Do not lie to one another. So we don't want to lie. Amen? Okay. So let me give you some examples, okay? Because we can catch ourselves in lies, okay? Maybe you're late. You come home and you're late. And everybody's kind of upset with you, okay? And so what happens? Well, we might kind of alter the truth so it sounds like we're a victim, right? We're just a victim of the traffic and the slippery ice out there. And so we came in late. And the reason is we don't want to get interrogated, right? Or let's try another one, saying that we say an untrue thing to someone to encourage them. You know, in the Lord, we want to encourage you, and so we kind of stick out there a little bit, encouraging them in a way that isn't exactly true. Or amplify a story until it's untrue, attempting to get the laugh, right? I've never done that, have you? A juicy bit of gossip, and we even add a little bit to it. And when we lie, I hope it's the same as you as it is with me. When we lie, I feel compromised. Do you? I feel compromised. That's not what I want to do, because we want to believe that it is right to tell the truth. Yet being and telling a lie seems sometimes in life to be more manageable, okay? A little more peaceful if we just kind of color it a little bit our way, when ultimately that ends up not being so true. And yet believing and telling a lie is something that occurs to all of us at some point or quite a few points. You remember me a while back, I did some research on lying and found out that the average person lies 200 times a day. 200 times a day. Yeah. Unbelievable. So let me give you kind of a case in point. I came from a family where we lived an inconsistent life. I could say that, and that totally describes the life. And probably on some level, most of you have been raised in maybe a similar thing. You know, smile, everything is great. I can even remember in middle school, my art teacher saying, "Why do you smile so much, Steve?" Well, I practiced smiling all the time because everything was fine when it was not fine. You know what I'm saying? And so my parents taught Sunday school and they helped in the church. But outside of church, oh, it was a different picture. Where lying was a way of surviving the anger or the cussing or the interrogation or the blame casting or whatever it may be. And like I said before, most of you could probably relate to some of that because we're all imperfect. And so our lives can be inconsistent with the truth on some kind of level. And I think it's understood by all of us, that so much so that I can remember even in my family, my dad saying, "What happens in this home, we don't talk about," right? Yep. Yeah. That's a sure sign of problem, okay? Because we all knew we were hypocrites. We probably didn't. I didn't know the name of what that meant or anything in my younger years. But what happens in this home stays in this home. And believing one thing, but doing another. Now, many of you have come from a life that maybe God wasn't in the picture, or maybe you weren't exposed to any good, strong biblical teaching. And in my house, it was possible that my parents didn't know how to act. They didn't have God in their life for years and years. They were married for years before they finally came around to Christ. And so I look back and I think, I don't know if they knew how to live a Christian life very well. And so it meant that the outside had to really look good. But the inside, not so much. It was simply do what you're told, the do's and don'ts, and then failing at it. But through the years, even the Bible study groups and church, it kind of stayed spiritually immature, thinking performing was the maturity. If we perform correct, you're spiritually mature. I like the Christian life, liken the Christian life to be like a ladder. I put up a little deal here. And we climb up 10 rungs and we look down and we think, man, are we way ahead of a lot of people in the spiritual world, right? We're on the 10th rung, only to find out there's 30 rungs and we're only one third of the way. And so we scramble and we work to get up that ladder, and we don't always grasp what maturity in Jesus Christ really is. Thinking is performance, like a ladder, rather than living in grace. So we find this same type of hypocrisy in Peter and Barnabas and the other Jews with them, so much so that they bring the Gentiles into that hypocrisy, because the fear of anger or confrontation by James' men or not performing to the standards creates a fear of man. And so Paul says in verse 13, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. So the personal question here is, are we like Peter or Barnabas in our daily life? Saying one thing and doing another. Are we hypocrites? Maybe even not meaning to? Because we're trying to be justified by others' rules rather than living by grace. You know, it's such an issue that's so familiar to all of us in our human condition, isn't it? We have that knee-jerk reaction to hang out there and then think, why did we do that? Why did we say that? The cost to Peter and Barnabas might have been the rejection of James and his men. And they weren't willing to stand up for the truth of the gospel. But according to this passage in Galatians, Paul stood up and confronted it head on because the truth of the gospel was at stake. Think about that for a minute. What would happen to our gospel if Paul went with Barnabas and Peter and just played the hypocrite? Verse 14, but when they saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, and when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, because Peter's the leader, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Bummer. Bummer. He's caught. And Paul goes on to talk to him and then gets on into the book of Galatians. We never hear from Peter what he thought. You know, I look at the Proverbs and explains it well in Proverbs 29, 25, and 26. And he says this, the fear of man brings a snare. Does it not? The fear of man brings a snare. What do you feel when I say political correctness? This whole world's scared now. Everybody is offended about everything. And we, no matter what we say or do, we have to watch what we speak, because there are judges all over the place judging if we're prejudiced, if we are what. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, James men, but justice for man comes from the Lord. Sometimes we get where we need to be in the wrong place, right? We get it from the people around us instead of what God says. And so I have to ask the question, what would have happened if Paul didn't stand up to Peter and to Barnabas and to the men from James and hammer on them, tell them, no, wait a minute, you know better. They just got back from a summit about the Gentiles being saved versus Jews. Say they all agreed, now they're disagreeing because of fear. What would we would not have a gospel of grace today if it weren't for Paul's forthrightness. Now listen to this. The fear of man is always out of step with God's truth. The fear of man is always out of step with God's truth. The gospel does not produce fear. It creates confidence, hope, boldness, and peace. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:7, and most of us know this verse. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So the application might be this. It might be that if you lived in a household with anger and fear, or not knowing how to live as the Christian life, then you may be living poor ways of living that Christian life and not realize it. I'm praying that we go through these life issues and problems, and that we look at our heart and look what God's saying about grace and what he says about us, how much he loves us and accepts us and cares for us. And that the grace will begin to reside in your heart, because it's hard to be judgmental and be grace both, isn't it? Because where does judgmentalness come from? The law, the rules. People, there's no ladder. There is no ladder. There is a grace relationship with God. And because, as we have learned, you can live the Christian life by law and rules, and it'll just drive us to more sin. It's really more making the choice to live clean and pure for Christ and not for the people around us. It's between him and you. Amen? So if you've come this morning and you feel tense or depressed with fear or with a vague feeling of anxiety that something's going to go wrong, especially during this season, right, where we are entertaining and we are looking for Christmas now. We just got done with Thanksgiving. Right? We had 36, I don't know, you know. But if you've come with that fear, or the feeling of anxiety that something's going to go wrong, your primary need is to remind yourself of the truth. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. I love the Greek word in power is dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite, right? He did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power. And in Ephesians, he says that power is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And of love, it's either about the law or it's about love. You can't have both. And self-control, making the right choices. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We need to stop and ponder what it implies about God's intentions towards us, who gave his only begotten Son to die for us. The gospel, the good news, means that God Almighty is for you right now, just as you are, rather than against you. That's the truth of the gospel. And our prayer is to not let fear reign in our lives. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Do you remember that? The truth will set you free, and we are free indeed. We are free from living the false life, free from telling people that we're okay when we're not. We are free to live a true life, not that false, fake life that we put on, the mask that we put on. The life that we live here should be the same as we live as what we live outside these doors. Amen? I can even remember to come in that. I was working downtown in Denver at a thing, and I thought, wait a minute, my life at church is different than my life at work. Because I heard Christians say over and over, well, you can't live a Christian life at work, it's business. Well, what kind of logic is that? And all of a sudden it occurred to me, and I woke up and I thought, wait a minute, my life at work here should be exactly like it is. There should be no difference. Because otherwise I'm a hypocrite. Amen? Freedom in Christ allows us to do just that. Live a life in Christ, no matter where we are, no matter what the circumstances we are. And when we get afraid there's going to be little pain, maybe we should just tell them to bring it on. Maybe a little suffering for Christ would do something good for us. Amen? We are free to stop living for ourselves and to live in for Christ and others. Believing in one thing and doing another is not who we want to be. Amen? That's not who we want to be. Let's be like Paul rather than Peter. Let's live the consistent life. Father, we just come this morning. Lord, we know you're on our side. You've just, you know, when I look at some of the things you say, especially in Ephesians and Colossians, the making us holy and blameless and adopted us and accepted in the beloved, and we're forgiven, our sins are forgiven, we're redeemed, and the list goes on and on and on. Because you loved us with a great love, it says in Ephesians 2:4. You love us with a great love. And so, Lord, help us to stop, and when we get to that place of fear where we become the hypocrite, help us to put up our hands and say, I'm not going there. I'm not going there, Lord, because I want to be like you.